brief statements in verses 2 and 3. Ruth chapter 2. And the verse 2 says, "And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi," and notice these words, "Let me now go to the field." And then look at the words in the middle of verse 3. "Her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz." The theme this morning is presented in the form of a question. I'd like you to consider it carefully. The question is, are you in the field? Remember the importance of chapter headings as you read the Bible. Put a heading on every chapter to help you to remember its contents. Chapter 1 of this book, the title could be "The Far Country." Remember that they'd gone away from Bethlehem to Moab. But the title of chapter 2 is very clearly "The Field." In the book of Ruth as a whole, there are 8 mentions of the field in total, and 7 of those are found in the second chapter. So it's clear that this is a chapter all about the field. The events of chapter 2 all took place in the field. But can I remind you that this was no ordinary field? This is the field of Bethlehem. You think of the events that took place here at a later date, a later time and later years. You think of David the shepherd boy. We had reference to him in the children's address this morning, but David the shepherd boy kept his father's sheep in these fields. And remember that David was the great-grandson. We're thinking here of Ruth and Boaz. So he was the great-grandson of Ruth and Boaz. And he killed the bear and he killed the lion that the children reminded us of this morning. He killed those animals in these very fields that we're reading about. He played his harp in these fields. He wrote the Psalms. He first sung many of the Psalms that's in our Bible when he was keeping those few sheep in these very fields. Think as well, further on still to the birth of the Saviour, the shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks by night. At the birth of the Good Shepherd, there were shepherds abiding in these fields. So those shepherds remind us of the Lord Jesus, and they remind us of the work that he came to do. So the fact is, some of the best known, some of the greatest events in the Bible took place in these very fields. So there's a sense in which these fields are holy ground. This is a chapter about the fields of Bethlehem, and it's important to note, to emphasize, this is the first mention in the Bible, Ruth chapter 2, of the fields of Bethlehem. So I want you to think with me about the field. It's relevant as we think of the harvest. Every farmer in the meeting is familiar with the field. You spend many hours every week, every year in the field. So I want us to think about the field together. The field, of course, is a place of work. It's a place of toil, a place of labor. If you look down the chapter there to verse 19, notice the word "wroughtest." "And where wroughtest thou?" And then a little further down, again in the chapter, it says, "with whom she had wrought." And then toward the end of the verse, "whom I wrought today is Boaz." 3 times in that verse 19, the word "wrought." That's an old word for labor, for hard work. And the field is a place of labor. As you know, I was brought up on the farm. And I know for sure that on the farm you weren't wanted in the field if you couldn't work, if you weren't interested in doing a bit of work. So I want you to notice that Ruth, this young woman, and I thought in the light of the presentations this morning to her two sisters that labored among the children, that this was a relevant passage and a relevant story. So notice Ruth, this young woman, this young convert, and she's in the field. I want you to notice that. Here's a young woman and she's in the work. She's out there in the field and she's doing a day's work. She's not sitting at home doing as little as possible, eating what Solomon described as the bread of idleness. She's not letting others bring in the harvest. Ruth was a worker. She was a worker in the field. And I wonder, is that true of you today? Are you a worker in the spiritual harvest fields, bringing in the harvest, bringing in the sheaves? Could it be said of you today that you're a worker, one of God's workers? Can I remind you of that, men and women? One of the things that God is looking for in every locality, in every community, and in every church is God is looking for workers. God doesn't bless laziness. God is looking for workers for his field. And sometimes that's scarce. The Bible teaches that and reminds us of that. The harvest is plenteous. There's a great work to be done, but the laborers are few. And that is the case, men and women, even in the church, of Jesus Christ. So I want to impress upon your hearts, as we think of the harvest being gathered in, lift your thoughts a little higher to the spiritual work, the spiritual harvest. And I want to remind you, there's a work to be done, men and women. God wants workers for his field. And I'd like you to consider that question today. Are you one of those workers? Are you in God's field? Maybe you're in the Lord. It's true today that you're saved. And how important that is, we'd want to emphasize that. We did so in the children's address. You need to be saved. Nothing more important in this world to know that your trust is in Christ for salvation. But believer, can I ask you today, are you in the work? Are you in the field? That's the question, that's the title. Are you in the field of service? So Ruth was a worker in the field. She's a picture of the Christian worker. She sets us an example here of what every Christian should be. Do you remember the words of our motto text? The people had a mind to work, Nehemiah 4 and 6. The people had an attitude, an outlook, a burden to do a work for God. May God give us that spirit in the days in which we live. Just quickly, let me highlight for you the field that Ruth was working in. Some of you have been in the fields this week. The barley field, the lay field, the grass field, all sorts of different fields. Well, I want you to see the sort of field that this young woman was working in. Notice, first of all, it was a local field. Remember, this is the field of Bethlehem. And that's where Ruth was currently living and residing. That was her home. So it was in her own community. It was in her own area. Ruth was at work in her own locality, as we read of her here in this chapter. And I want to stress to all brethren and sisters, as you go out into the car park today and look out across the city, remember this: there's a work to be done for God. There's a work to be done at home. There's a work to be done for God in this city. A work to be done for God in Armagh. May the Lord give us a mind to do that work in coming weeks and months and years. The Lord needs those that will stay at home by the stuff. We're looking for those to go abroad. But there's a great need for those to do a work at home as well, on the home front, to maintain the home witness. Remember, without a strong home witness, we can't make a strong overseas witness. Sometimes there are those people who would say, I would go to the mission field. I would go and serve the Lord in the far-off land. And that's very commendable. But you know what you sometimes find? Those same people are doing nothing for Christ at home. They're not doing anything for God in their own church, their own local church, in its ministry, in their own community. And remember, men and women, that's where you prove yourself. It's at home. That's where you gain experience and prove yourself and prove the Lord as you seek to work for him. So remember today, brethren and sisters, the words that the Savior spoke to the man of Gadara when his life was transformed and he became a child of God. The Lord said to him, go home to thy friends, to your family, and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. So the question is, what are you doing at home for Christ? What are you doing in this area? We've highlighted what our sister Laura, our sister Jane, have been doing these 20, 25, 30 years and more. So let me put the question to all of you today. What are you doing in this area, in this church, for Christ? Either spiritually or practically. You think of the Apostle Paul. Think of the great man of God that he was. The missionary journeys. At least three major missionary journeys that he went on all across the Roman Empire. But always remember that the Apostle Paul began his work for God in his own locality. He's known as Saul of Tarsus. And the Bible says of Barnabas, remember that there was a little bit of blessing going on in the church at Antioch in Syria, and Barnabas departed unto Tarsus for to seek Saul. So what was Saul doing in those early years after his conversion? He was living for Christ and making a witness for Christ in his own hometown, in his own home locality. And you must do the same, brethren and sisters. So it was a local field. I want you to say as well, the field that Ruth was in was a Jewish field. Remember, this field in Bethlehem is in Israel, and Ruth is a Gentile, and we find her here in chapter 2 of this book working in a Jewish field. And I want you never to forget that. There's a work, men and women, to be done for Christ among the Jews. Many people evangelize the Arabs, the Chinese, the Africans, and it's good to do that. We're to go into all the world. But the Jews sometimes are forgotten. They're overlooked, and that's wrong, men and women. The Savior himself said, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So I want you to remind you today of our responsibility to evangelize the Jewish people as well. Remember what the book of Romans says. The Apostle Paul, writing there in that first chapter, he said the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He's setting out for us there a divine order. A divine order in evangelism. The first people that we should seek or have a burden, a desire to reach for Christ is the Jewish people. And that's something that's taught in many places, particularly in the New Testament. Think of Acts 1 verse 8. The book is summarized in that one verse, the book of Acts. And it says they went to Jerusalem and Judea and then Samaria and then the uttermost ends of the earth. The Jew is to hear the gospel first. Luke said at the end of his gospel, the words of Christ, that repentance and remission of sin is to be preached among all nations. There's another reference to the Great Commission, just in different wording. The message of the gospel preached among all nations. But he concluded that verse with this statement, beginning at Jerusalem. That's where we're to begin, brethren and sisters, among the Jewish people. The Apostle Paul, if you read the book of Acts, we're told that as his manner was, that's indicating how Paul went about his evangelistic labors on his missionary journeys. And when he went into every city, his manner was to go into the synagogue first. The first people that he preached to in every locality was the Jewish people. And remember, he was the apostle of the Gentiles. But first of all, he brought the gospel to the Jews. It's a hard work. It's a very difficult work to work among the Jewish people for Christ. Often that's why it's neglected. But I stress to you the importance, men and women, today of doing that work for Christ. Let me encourage you, read the life of David Barron. He was a converted Jew. Did a great work among the Jewish community in Whitechapel in London in the 19th century. Think of Rabbi Duncan from the Church of Scotland, a missionary to the Jews in Budapest and Hungary. And men like Adolf Safar, Alfred Eidersheim, were converted to Christ. Men that went on to do a mighty work for God themselves, but they were converted under the ministry of John Duncan. He had such a love for the Jewish people, he became known as Rabbi Duncan. Read their lives and it'll stir your soul to reach the Jews for Christ. Finally, it was a local field, a Jewish field. It was also a foreign field. Remember, Ruth is a Moabitess. She wasn't at home. She's in a foreign land, and she's in a foreign field. As we find her in the book of Ruth, chapter 2, she's working on foreign soil. So I want you to think, men and women, remember the words of Christ. Lift up your eyes this morning and look on the fields. I want you to think of the foreign fields, the foreign harvest fields, where there's a work to be done for Christ. You read the story of Dr. Bill Woods. We're glad to hear the news in recent days that Dr. Woods is in better health. The treatment he received for his cancer has gone well. The Lord has blessed that. He's making a good recovery. Many, many years ago, when he first heard the call under Dr. Paisley's ministry, he came home and he said, "This father, he felt called to the mission field." His father looked at him nearly in disdain and said, "You would hardly get to the potato fields, never mind the mission fields." Maybe there's somebody in this harvest service this morning, and God is calling you, just as he did Dr. Woods those many years ago. Well, don't be disobedient to the heavenly vision. I want to encourage you to surrender your life to the Lord, even in this meeting today. Remember that the book of Acts, the Lord said to Paul, "I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." Some foreign land, some far off nation, some far off continent. Remember that the book of the Revelation tells us that in heaven there's going to be people from every nation, every kindred, every people, and every tongue. And remember, as you think of all of those nations, those kindreds, peoples, tongues, remember what Paul said in the book of Romans. How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Can I ask, will you be that preacher, brother, sister, in the meeting today? You think of the second coming of Christ. When will the Lord come again to this world? Well, Matthew chapter 24 said that this gospel of the kingdom must be preached among all nations as a witness, and then the end cometh. The Lord will not come till every nation and every tribe and every tongue. Sometimes you see that slogan, until the last tribe is heard. Well, he'll not come until every tribe. You hear people saying the Lord could come at any moment. That's not the teaching of the Bible, men and women. Remember those words again, that this gospel must first be preached among all nations as a witness, and then the end cometh. So foreign missions can hasten the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you today, will you go to be a missionary for the Lord? I'll finish just by saying this to you, men and women. Hudson Taylor said on one occasion, "If I had £1,000, China would have it. If I had 1,000 lives, China would have them." And then he said, "No, not China, but Christ." Can I ask you today, all that you have, all the Lord has given you, and we're reminded of that, everything we have has come from his hand. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? All the material blessings that you have, the life that you have, we won't be given 1,000 lives, we'll only be given one. Will you give it to Christ? Will you give it to the work of God? Will you give it to the cause of Christ on the foreign fields of the earth? Ruth, a worker in the field. So I leave you with a question with which we began. What of you today? Are you in the field? Are you in the field of service, the harvest field of service, for the Lord of the harvest, the Lord Jesus Christ? I pray God will bless his word to every heart today. The closing